Everybody, welcome to week two of the Patrick Ramsey Fantasy Corner podcast. Yes, that's right. You are listening to this through the sweet, sweet sounds of Apple Podcasts, baby. Scott was right. My promises come true every single time, on time, except when I'm drunk and I make really ambitious promises and then they come through a week or two later. But that's not important here. You're all welcome. Speaking of you guys being welcome, I hope you all received my very courteous gift this morning. Trickle-down economics was at play. I was being gracious and considerate and thinking of all of you early this morning after you guys were kind enough to let me keep my money this week. So big on you, big on me, big on our league. We got a big podcast ahead of us. We got a bunch of guys on the call. Basically, everybody just trashes Matt. That seems to be, like, when I call you, that's what you guys do, and that's what I enable you guys to do. But tonight's a little different. We are going to have Matt on, and Matt is going to get to defend himself. We'll see what everybody has to say. A wild, wild week this week. Me and Johnny had a face-off of epic proportions. We put up 305 combined points. For the record, the highest matchup of any matchup in all of last season was 288 points. So we blew that out of the water by almost 20. Johnny had to go down in a horrible fashion. We'll talk about that some more. Trey and Cole came down to the wire. Cole at OBJ on Sunday night and just barely ticked over the edge, got the big win. Cole jumps to 2-2 in the quote-unquote Clash of the Titans, which I have a problem with. I have a beef with it. I won't let that stand. Nor will Aditya, as you're going to come to find out. Matt and Aditya played. Matt fell to 0-2. Aditya, the giant killer, is up to 2-0. Another big scoring week from Aditya. Matt bounced back from that 87-point week, but couldn't quite get the W this week. We had Chris and Hank go at it. Chris jumped out to an early 50-point lead, and then that ended. Your team is butt, I guess. We talked about this last week, and then it came true exactly like you thought. An old-fashioned suck-off. I was actually hoping that Hank would come back and chase down Chris on Monday night, get up to about 100 points, because then we would have been able to say that Trey and Cole were the lowest scoring matchup after being declared the Clash of the Giants. Unfortunately, Hank couldn't pull that off for us. Valiant effort nonetheless. And then the last matchup, we had Roe and we had Honorog. Came down to Saquon against Zeke, the rookie, the sophomore, the NFC East, Sunday Night Football. Pretty epic matchup. Cool way to settle a fantasy football matchup. Honorog squeaked out the win. We'll talk to Roe a little bit about what it's like to fall to 0-2, what the outlook is on the season. Couple of pieces of information for you guys. First of all, we need an image for our podcast. I can add a picture that would replace this little default little wave purple thing. So if anybody wants comes up with like some cool art or something funny, mildly appropriate, we'll say, send it my way, and I'll figure out how to get it up there and add it to our little thing. No dick pics, no drunk selfies. That's all I ask. Last piece. I got to make fun of Cole for a little bit. Cole, David Johnson is done. I said that 2 weeks ago, and I'm objectively right. There's no other way to look at this. But more importantly than that, last week on this very podcast, on these very airwaves, you declared that you have 5 RB1s on your roster. Those were your words, not mine. This week, I will read them. Let me read the points to you. Your high scorer in that regard was Chris Thompson, who is actually the only RB2 out of the bunch, scored 15 points. Pretty good week from Chris Thompson. He was on your bench. Deion Lewis, also on your bench, 4.8. Sonny Michel, also on your bench, 4.6. Go Dogs. Adrian Peterson, RB1 above Chris Thompson. You started him, 6.5. David Johnson, he's washed up. He's done. His best days are behind him. You heard it here first, 5.6. Basically, you had 5 RB1s, according to you. 4 of them combined for under 20 points, and the fifth one had an okay day on your bench. I'm not going to be hearing any more about your RB1s. Get that crap out off these airwaves. Lastly, Johnny, heartbreak season. Stick with us, buddy. You got a big week coming up. You're going to bounce back, and then we're going to get you on the podcast, and we're just going to let you say whatever you want, whatever makes your little, tiny, precious heart feel better. We're rooting for you at this point because, man, back-to-back, tough, tough losses. Anyways, let's get rolling. We're going to start calling some folks and have a little fun. What's up, man?
Yo.
You're live on the podcast. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. Hanging in there after my my tragic loss this weekend.
Yeah, you're recovering from kind of a weird loss.
Yeah.
Lost by two. Lots. All came down to Monday night. And let's see, you had I mixed this up. You had Saquon? Yes.
Yeah. Sunday night.
Sorry, Sunday. Yeah, that's right. Almost nothing happened on Monday night. Thanks, Hank. all right, so you lost by two.
Yeah.
Sunday night, you're basically tied going into it, and you had Saquon, he had Zeke.
Yep.
You felt pretty good?
I felt great, actually, and I was winning until Zeke fell into the end zone on that last drive, and I lost it. But.
Oh, I didn't realize it came down to the last play of the game, the last drive.
Yeah, no, I don't know if it was not the last drive, but like it was like second or third to last drive. I was like up three, and basically the only way I think I was going to lose is if Zeke would touchdown, and of course he did. So here I am, 0-2 to start,
and you lost by, well, maybe this helps, maybe this doesn't. You lost by 2.2 points, and your Ravens D got you -2 on the dot. So that alone wouldn't have changed it, but it would have made it excruciatingly close.
Yeah, I mean, I had basically anybody on my bench, or at least the wide receivers, would have done it for me. So
yeah.
Lots of
Kenny
and
Galladay.
Kittle, man, Kittle. Woo.
Yeah,
the double tight end flex did not work out for me either. So
that was a strong play. I didn't realize you did that. I didn't catch that.
Yeah, well, I bid a bunch for him, so I was like, all right, let me play him.
Yeah,
you know, he looks good.
Lions D was bad, and yeah.
Yeah.
So what's going on with Joe Mixon? I'm seeing he's out.
Joe Mixon is out. He's got some like minor knee procedure, I guess. So he's out like a few weeks.
Gotcha.
Which is really unfortunate timing. given my start to the season, but you know, I've been fielding a lot of trade offers for him. A lot of people trying to pick at me right now while I'm down, but you know, I'm holding out for the right offer, and I'm here to say it on the pod that you know my whole team is on the block.
Everybody's on the block. Okay.
If somebody wants him, you know, I could do a package deal. I think I got some good pieces, so you know I don't want to say it too early, but you know it might be a rebuilding year this year. So we'll see how it goes with Matt this week.
Wow, declaring that. You do play Matt, so you got that going for you.
I mean, my starting wide receivers were Kenny Stills and Randall Cobb, so probably not going to get the job done.
This week.
Yeah, I mean, I've outscored you know the ESPN projections 2 weeks in a row, which is more than Matt can say. So
okay,
I got that going for me this week, but that's about it.
Yeah, yeah. You had Big Ben put up 39 points. Is that
yes? He was huge.
He threw the ball 60 times.
Yeah.
This can't be sustainable, right? What do you think of this Big Ben play?
So, I was going to say no until I realized who they were playing this week. And so they're going up against Fitzmagic, who we all know is going to put up another 40 points. So, you know, I'm looking forward to another shootout on Monday night. So, we'll see how it goes. But
okay.
I needed to move on from Matty Stafford. He just wasn't getting the job done, so.
No, you did make a step up in the world, but it looks like, I mean, you have no one else on your roster, so you're going to be streaming quarterbacks if you move on from Big Ben.
Yeah.
Injury-prone Big Ben, so at any point, you got to be ready for that.
I think it's at home. I'm not sure. I need to check. If it's at home, I feel really good, but he sucks on the road, so we'll see.
Gotcha. Okay, so you're 0-2. When...
Yeah.
What? Let's say you beat Matt. You're back to 1-2. You'll be feeling a little bit better about the season, right? You're not going to be in full on fire sale mode at that point.
No, I guess not. But then I play Aditya, which, you know, that's going to be a daunting matchup. I guess the way I look at it is, if I lose to Matt, you know, it's going to be a pretty big hole to come out of. So, not all hope is lost. And I do think if my team was healthy, if all of them were healthy, you know, I'd be looking okay, maybe making some noise. But yeah, it's gonna take some special performances this week to get the W. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Tough start, though.
You have two pieces of recent history working for you. The first is that Hank started 1-5 last season, I think.
Oh, that's right.
And pulled his way out of there. So there's no start that's too bad to make the playoffs. And
that's
then
right.
Number two is that Matt started last season with basically a team that didn't work. None of them played the game of football, apparently. And he just started over, like, week by week, picking up people off the waiver wire. So, and
was
I guess
it waiver wire? Or was it trade?
Well, a little bit better.
I guess both.
He played, both. Yeah, and he scrapped it together however he could. The third piece that you, I guess, might work for you, might not, is that with the trade deadline being earlier this year, I think there's more money to be made if you decide to be a seller right before the trade deadline. Like, if you're willing to fold earlier, you'll have more people willing to be riskier because there's more weeks of the regular season left where they need an impact player.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you've got, like Saquon probably doesn't make the cut, but like Travis Kelce, if he was outpriced for you to keep him next year and you're 0-7 going into the trade deadline or something like that, I think there's more money this year than historically, or, you know, value to be had at the trade deadline.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I don't want to sell anybody for, you know, below what I'm looking for. So, I mean, I have gotten a few offers thus far, but nothing that's really piqued my interest. So,
fair enough.
Again, yeah, we'll see where it goes.
Any trash talk you have for Matt?
Trash talk for Matt. Well, you know, I did have I was going to prepare a great speech, in rebuttal to Anurag, if I had won. So that was unfortunate. It was going to be great.
Of course.
But yeah, I mean, for Matt, he's already declared that he is going to, quote, destroy me. So, you know, I don't want to go too far and say that I'm going to destroy him, but, you know, I do like that my team tends to overperform expectations. Although they are low expectations, so, you know, I could see a few of my players having a ceiling week and maybe eking this one out. I think it's just unfortunate that, you know, either Matt or I, one of us is going to be 0-3.
Yeah, so that's kind of nuts.
That's going to be tough, but such is the schedule.
Yeah, and the fact that let's say Matt beats you and you go 0-3, that's going to be especially painful when Matt put up 87 in week one and that wasn't going to be one of his losses.
Right.
You know, that hurts. You put up 111 and 115 respectively.
Trey put up like 150 or something on me. Week one.
Yeah, you got smoked. 152 from Trey. High points. Yeah. So nothing you can do there.
Yeah.
That's too unfortunate. That's a brutal way to start. But that was Hank Steele last year. Hank started out with all those losses because he played, like, the high points guy 3 of the 5 weeks or something like that.
That's right.
So, statistically, you're still in this.
He had Bell, who had, like, a slow start, and then, I don't know, I'm still trying to figure out, you know, what's going to happen with Saquon, because he had, like, 15 catches or something like that in his last game, but can't get anything going on the ground, so, you know. It's got to get those massive quads working for him a little bit more.
Yeah, seriously.
And start finding the end zone. But, you know, I like the talent. If Mixon hadn't gotten injured, I really like my RBs. I'm going to propose receiving core is looking mighty good these days.
Yours is? Sorry, you broke up.
No, yours.
A Mine.
Oh, yours. Yours.
Yeah, you came. Yeah. You came fishing earlier, and you offered me. I mean, we talked about a few options. The most intriguing one at the time was Peyton Barber, and suffice it to say, that's become a lot less intriguing to me lately.
Yeah, no, he's been pretty poor.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Aaron Jones might be an interesting one, but I think it's going to take a few weeks for him to play out because I don't know what's going to happen in Green Bay, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think my response at the time was all of your running backs have upside, but they're pretty uncertain. And
yeah,
compare that to like Juju and Josh Gordon also have upside and are very uncertain. Juju, I feel more certain about now, but Josh Gordon, his upside has gone up and his uncertainty has gone up. So I'm probably further entrenched in my paralysis of not wanting to make a move right now. But it's definitely
those could be huge value, I think, by the end of the season.
Or no value. We'll see.
Well, yeah, I mean, AB is not showing up to work anymore.
Perfect.
You got the GOAT. Throwing it to Flash Gordon. So.
Yeah. Well, I actually can't decide if I want AB to come to work or not, because part of me is like, yeah, I just want all the targets I can get. And then the other part of me is like,
Well,
I want fewer targets, but Juju to be open on every single one because they double AB. I don't know which one is a better line of reasoning, but I go back and forth.
Good problems to have.
Yeah, yeah, we'll figure it out. But yeah, maybe we'll be in talks here. Either way, you're making it publicly known. Everybody's on the trading block. And somewhere Matt is just going like, wait, isn't everybody always on everyone's trading block? No, Matt, that's not how this works. It's very selective sometimes. But hopefully we'll get some bites.
I've gotten a few offers from Matt already, and suffice to say they have been, substandard.
Right, so. Right, yeah. Guys on IR and kickers, I assume, but
a little bit higher than that, but
marginally
but not
higher. Wow, very considerate of him.
He's learning. He's getting better. So
yeah,
I'll give him that.
I think all this roasting is doing wonders for the fairness of trade offers in our league. I hope, but I don't have any data for that.
We don't have any this season yet. I don't think, right?
Yeah, me and Rog preseason before the draft.
Oh yeah, preseason.
Yeah, that's all we got. All right. Well, I'm going to let you go. We're going to keep rocking and rolling here. But best of luck against Matt pulling for you. Don't tell Matt that.
All right, man.
See ya.
Talk to you soon. Thanks. See ya.
What's up, Dita? How you doing?
Hey, I'm good, man. How are you been?
I'm doing well. You're live on the podcast. Welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Great. It's so great to be on the show finally. I've been listening since the beginning, so it's good to be on.
Perfect. Now you can listen on Apple Podcasts. That's a shameless plug. How is the Caribbean these days?
It's pretty good, you know? I mean, like, med school itself is kind of challenging, but, you know, being able to do it on a tropical island, like, with beach access is great, so.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you're going to do it, you may as well do it on a beach, so.
That's I've always said about med school. That's right.
Yeah.
How many drinks or how many umbrellas are in your drink right now?
I would say zero, because I do not have a drink with me right now, but typically there's one.
Okay, one is a healthy number, but zero is an unhealthy number, so.
No, it's unhealthy, yeah.
Okay.
You know, I had to be sober for this podcast, you know, so.
Well, yeah, note to the listeners, that's not a hard and fast rule, but probably a good piece of advice.
I don't want to make a fool of myself. So
that's fair. So you are well. It's almost impossible for you to make a fool of yourself right now because you are arguably king of the league right now. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I get like one thing I was thinking about this weekend was I was looking back at the past and the last 3 years I've always started the season 0-2. So this is like it's been a while. It's been a while since I've been good. So I mean, it's kind of a different feeling, but. You know, it feels good. You know, this was kind of like the perfect football weekend in the Botnagar household because, you know, the UVA won, the Cowboys won, and we both won. So,
wow.
So, I mean, like, we're riding high right now. So, I mean,
we need Elias Sports Bureau to go back and tell us how many weeks that's ever happened in your lives. And
I probably never because
this might be the first one.
Yeah, this might be the first and last one. So
hopefully not the last.
Yeah.
All right, so in 2 weeks, you have scored, let me get this right,
mm-hmm.
142, and then 126.
Mm-hmm. Is it going downhill a bit there?
Well, until I tell you that if you'd made all the correct coaching choices both weeks, you would have scored 142 and then 144.
Okay. So you're assuming I played DeSean Jackson, though?
Yeah, I'm not looking at exactly what those are. Let's see.
Probably DeSean Jackson. He was on my bench putting up, like, good points.
Yeah, if you played Philip Rivers over Breeze, you would have gotten five more out of him. And then if you played DeSean over, looks like Cooper Kupp would have been your best choice. Yeah. That's another 11 there. So that gets you from 126 up to 144. So you certainly have the firepower week in and week out. And so you brought up an interesting point. You said you've started the last few years sort of disappointing. And that is, in my head, early last year, maybe you had a bad record, but you were putting up a ton of points until AB and Aaron Rodgers went down in like weeks two and three.
Yeah, so that's the thing. So I said I started 0-2 every season, but every one of those years, I would then go on and win like the next three or four games and get back in it. So
except for last year.
Well, last year, actually, it was the same thing. I started 0-2, and then I think I won the next two or three. I don't remember. And then that's when OBJ went down, and then I just lost every game after that.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, I won the next two games because I only won two games total. So
gotcha.
Those were those
two. Those were those two. So, yes, you've already totaled that, which is pretty incredible. You're breaking up a little bit. You still there?
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Say that again.
Yeah, so I was just at some milestone because I reached my win total, and, that's always special when you reach your little title. But it's also like, you know, this win is in itself was special because I reached my win total. I'm 2-0 for the first time, and I beat Matt. So, you know, those are like three special. Like, that's like an added bonus right there.
Yeah.
Anytime you beat Matt.
Tell us how sweet it is to beat Matt. Just summarize that in like six words.
You know, six words. Okay. I mean, I sat here all weekend thinking that I'm going to trash talk Matt, you know, and just how I'm going to do it when I won. But honestly, I kind of have to give it out to him because he put up a fight. And, you know, he infamously called me overrated last week. But I'm going to go ahead and say he's kind of underrated. So, I mean, he put up a fight. And, wow. Yeah, you know, I'm going to take the high ground here.
Kill him with kindness. Did not see that coming.
Yeah, you know, I mean, everyone expected me to crash talk. So I'm just like, I'm going to take the high ground in here and be like, he's a good team. It's just, you know, he's been unlucky. He had to play you and then he had to play me. So.
That's fair.
You and me are arguably the two best teams in the league, so.
I like the sound of that. Yeah, it's just a couple of guys that have beaten Matt. Nothing to see here.
Yeah, no big deal. You know, just you and me. We're the only ones so far.
Yeah. So you, speaking of that, you play Johnny next week. And Johnny is 0-2. Maybe he's a late bloomer. Maybe he needs a players-only meeting. Who knows? But I just spanked him. And I also beat Matt, and you beat Matt. So 100% of the teams that I beat, you also beat, is what I'm saying.
That's a really good point. So that means that you are definitely going to beat my brother, and I'm definitely going to beat Johnny. You're right. So
you're saying I'm going to beat your brother because
I beat him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right. I get it.
By that logic.
It goes both directions. You're right.
Yeah, yeah, it has to go.
All right, well, I'll just jot you down as 3-0, and we'll move on to week 4 without any issues here.
Yeah, that logic is sound to me, so I mean, I don't think anyone can argue it.
Perfect. You hear that, Johnny? He's guaranteeing a win.
Well, okay. I have to say, though, I feel so bad for Johnny because that's 2 weeks in a row that he's had extremely heartbreaking losses.
Yes. I was texting with Hank.
So I don't know which one's worse. I honestly can't tell.
That's a good question. Which one would you prefer?
I think I would take the Hank loss because at least in that one, I didn't put up that many points, so I didn't necessarily deserve it, but you put up 140 points, you should win every week.
Yeah, but I don't know. If I go to bed at midnight on Monday winning, I expect to win. I don't know. That's brutal.
It's so tough. Like, those are probably the two of the most heartbreaking losses in recent memory out of anybody, and he owns them both, so, I mean.
Yeah. I did text Johnny at, like, 4 o'clock on Sunday, and I said, one of us is going to score 150 points and lose, and that sucks.
That's true. It could have been you, too.
Yeah, it could have been me. It was close. Yeah, thoughts and prayers for me. It almost happened. And then I was talking to Hank yesterday, and we decided that at this rate, Johnny's going to Vontae Davis and just retire from the league, like, halfway through the week next week if this continues. So
Honestly. But honestly, though, Vontae Davis is kind of a little bit of a – he's a – And Johnny's not a punk, so I don't see him doing that.
All right, there you have
it. In the words of one of his teammates, he's a punk.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of a weird move. Johnny's not a punk, yeah. It's official.
Johnny's not a punk. Johnny's a cool guy.
Once again, killing him with kindness, but this time before the matchup. Well, sweet. Last week we were texting. You said you had some things to get off your chest. Have you got them off your chest? You need to. Can I give you some time to vent here?
I was thinking last week. I don't know. Yeah, I think I'm in a better spot now. Last week I was kind of. I felt good about beating my brother, but at the same time I knew my history and I knew that going in this week, the trash talking Matt was doing, especially calling me overrated. I was like, wow. It was just like a lot of emotions were going through my mind. And I was like, if I lose to Matt, then I would definitely want to use this podcast here to vent about that. But I mean, gotcha. Now that I've won and I'm sitting 2-0, there's really not much to say, you know? I'm kind of just letting my players do the talking.
Okay. And, you know, did you feel, you probably felt a little disrespected last week that Trey and Cole got all the talk, even though you outscored Cole and you were right up there with Trey?
Yeah, honestly, but at the same time, I'm okay with that because last year, like before we knew my team was going to suck, everyone was, I think I was the talk. I mean, you were ranking me high constantly, and that didn't work out well. So I'd rather be under the radar, you know?
All right, flying under the radar.
Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and still say that Cole and Trey, and maybe you are the best teams in the league, just to kind of keep myself underrated here.
Nice. Savvy play there. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, before I let you go, if you have any concerns, if something's going to go wrong here, you got any players that are on your roster that you're worried about?
If I told you
you were going to lose next week,
yeah,
you would say this player probably underperformed.
Okay,
fill in the blank.
So, in terms of players I expect to do well every week and who I think would underperform is Rob Gronkowski because he did that this week.
Okay,
I'm kind of hoping that this week was an anomaly, and now with like Josh Gordon coming, which is good for you, by the way, I think that hopefully he'll be double teamed less, so like he'll go back to being Gronk. I mean, so I'm not too worried. So I think instead of Gronk, I'll say I'm leaning on starting DeSean Jackson this week just because of his first 2 weeks, and if anyone's going to underperform, it's him because he's on and off. So that would be the reason I lost, I think, if I start DeSean Jackson.
Okay. That's fair. Riding the Fitzmagic train, I like that.
You gotta keep it going. I mean, until it kind of wears down. So I mean,
okay. So let's say Fitzpatrick has another big game, and DeSean Jackson has another big game in week 3.
Yeah.
And then when Jameis comes back, they give Jameis the start week 4.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that improves? Does that raise or lower your outlook for DeSean?
I think that lowers my outlook for DeSean because I think really it's just the Fitzpatrick DeSean Jackson connection here that's keeping it going.
Okay.
But I also don't see if Fitzpatrick does what he's been doing. If he does that again next week, I don't see them starting Jameis over him.
Yeah, there's a chance that Fitzpatrick just Colin Kaepernick's Jameis Winston's Alex Smith here, and Jameis Winston just doesn't do anything. Well, he did something wrong, but doesn't do anything objectively wrong during the season and never gets his job back.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good analogy right there from a 49ers fan right there, but it was a good analogy. But I think that's possible.
All right.
Especially, I think DeSean Jackson himself said this week that he wants Fitzpatrick to keep playing.
Well, yeah, he switched clothes with him in the locker room. He's got it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a special bond right there.
Swagged him out, yeah. all right. Well, great talking to you, and best of luck next week, and we'll catch you on the next one.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. See you, man.
What up?
What's up, man? Welcome to the pod. You're live on the airwaves. How you doing?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. You sir, are coming off a tough loss this week. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's rough. There is a couple swing plays there. I mean, Kamara touchdown gets called back because of holding. Next play, they throw it to Michael Thomas. It's a 12-point swing right there. That could have been the victory.
That's brutal. I didn't realize that went down.
Yeah, and we got Matt Ryan out here trying to be the next Michael Vick. I mean, but there's a little bit. He could have thrown some of those to Julio as well, so I'll just call that even. But it's rather rough losing to your best friend from ever, the guy who first ran you through your own basement wall. But I mean, at least it's a super team and not somebody like Matt, you know.
So yeah, let's start there. Are you a super team?
Am I a super team? I mean, I think you can call it that all you want, but every given week, any team can win. Anything can happen. I mean, you saw the amount of points you guys put up this week. That's similar to what I put up last week. Are you guys a super team? I don't know.
Wow. Just spinning it right back around on me. Ooh, man. I'm caught up in the prior patch of that question. I'm not going to answer that. I'm going to answer your question by asking you a different question. Is Cole a super team?
I mean, he was looking like it coming out of the draft, but you never really know with how garbage Arizona is. He's got that pick there who is one of the best running backs in the league, but they're not going to give him the ball, and they're going to run him straight behind his center every single play. So if they don't figure something out like that, he's kind of fallen off a little bit from that super team moniker, I would say.
Yeah, David Johnson's going to be – he's just not going to find the end zone very much because the Cardinals are not going to find the end zone very much.
The butt fumble as your quarterback. So, I mean,
that's true. Yeah, that doesn't help. All right. So through 2 weeks, you're 1-1. But statistically, a little bit of an aberration there. You're averaging 125 points for. You're averaging 131 points if you make the right coaching decisions. You've got 1.6 Pythagorean wins. Way over the one you actually have. How do you feel about your team? Qualitatively, where are you at?
I like my team. I feel like I have some rather good, like a pretty good balance between depth and like consistency. I don't think that I'm going to have a week like week one again where I just go off, like, because that just required every single player and my defense scoring a touchdown. So I think I'm probably a high averaging team, though, and I'm pretty excited about that. I started 2-0 last season, started 0-2 the season before, so I'm just changing it up. Gonna see if I can get out of that third to sixth ratio that I seem to be in.
All right, yeah, maybe starting 1-1 is the key here. Next week you've got Anurag. Anurag got off to a slow start trying to defend his championship, still hung over from the championship parade. But then this week you put up 117. What do you think of your matchup there?
I think it's rather exciting. I mean, you have the fact that Bell could come back any week and just be crazy, but you never really know. I think he's out for the long haul, though, so we'll see what kind of moves he makes, whether this kicker acquisition works out for him. I think it'll be a tough matchup. I want to ask you, what do you think the average points to kind of be a sure to win is going to be this season? Like the last two seasons, it was kind of around 100 points. This season, I'm thinking it's around, you got to be like above 110 to kind of be in that 90% win range.
Yeah, so that 100 points, I think, was a number from two seasons ago before we put in the half point PPR.
Oh, okay.
Our average last season for the whole season was around 109, and it was oddly bimodal. This is really good podcasting. I was talking about statistical correlations. It was bimodal, so one peak was around 100 and one peak was around 120, which is weird, and I really can't understand that, except that this year it's happening again. We're bimodal again. I think it has something to do with, like, if your running backs get in the end zone, you're going to jump into that second lump above average.
And I think bye weeks have to play into that, right? I mean, once you get to the point where you're not going to have all your starters every single week, there's a little bit more variance there.
That's true. Yeah, that probably plays into it a little bit. So to me, if you score 120, you're going to win two-thirds of your games. And if you score under 100, you're going to lose two-thirds of your games. So you get like a Johnny this week or a Matt this week. Matt scored 122, Johnny scored 148, and they both lost. That sucks, and that's going to be like that aberration. That's going to be that one-third that's an outlier. But I don't know, any time where like you see a projection above 115, you got to be, I think, feeling pretty good at this point.
Yeah, pretty excited.
Yeah. So the scoring average this week was 116, and the scoring average for the season is 114, but to your point, we haven't hit buys yet. So that 114 for the season is going to come down once we're subbing in some guys that are backups. So we'll see. Next week, your matchup with Anurag is interesting because Pat Mahomes went off this week, and he's on Anurag's roster. And you've got Kareem Hunt, obviously. Both play for the Chiefs. Both are playing against the 49ers. The 49ers, I can tell you, are garbage. I'm allowed to say that. So the Chiefs are going to score like 45 points next week. And I guess the question is, does it come through the air or on the ground? And if it comes through the air, does it come through the air back to Kareem Hunt? That might just decide your matchup right there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty excited. The Chiefs' offense is going to be fun to watch, and the Chiefs' D sucks ass. So there's going to be some high scoring games that they're in. Yeah, I don't know against the 49ers, but we'll see. I think that most of that is probably going to come through the air until Andy Reid finds out, oh, hey, wait, I did have this awesome running back last season. Maybe I should try to utilize him a little more.
We'll see.
Once they start dropping nine into coverage, then maybe they'll run Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, somebody's got to figure it out. How do you feel about Aaron Rodgers' knee or his hamstring or whatever it is?
Ooh, yeah, that's a toughie. He looks great coming back against the Bears. I didn't really get to see any of the game against Minnesota, but I know Minnesota's a tough D and probably got a lot of pressure, and he's not nearly as mobile. So I'm kind of iffy on him, but I'm just thinking, is there anybody on the waiver wire that's better than Aaron Rodgers with like a semi-bum knee? And at this point, it hasn't happened yet that I've seen.
Yeah, and even if 16 this week is an off week for him, he's doing fine. You'll be all right. Okay, before I let you go, I noticed that you haven't said anything bad about Matt explicitly. Would you like to?
I mean, I hear that he's going to Apple, so like, I'm afraid he's just going to hack in and shut down all our phones if we say too much bad about him.
Ooh,
maybe steal my credit card number.
True.
So I'm going to go off and say Matt's an okay guy, and I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, and we'll note that this interview occurred under duress.
Yes, yes.
Okay, great. Sweet. Well, we're going to let you run. Best of luck next week, and hopefully you make it back into the above 500 squad.
Yes, thank you very much, Chris.
All right, man. You have a good night.
You too. See you later.
Hey.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can, yes. How you doing?
Awesome. Finally home.
Good. I'm glad. Yeah. Is your commute always an hour?
Yeah. That's pretty much.
Yeah. I guess it is far. Speaking of commutes, you have some clarifying to do. We're going to work our way through this. The Godfather Tesla still currently employs you, correct?
Yes. Until mid-October.
Mid-October. And you have a job on paper with Apple?
Yes, in iPhone manufacturing.
Oh, okay. In San Francisco?
No, it's in Cupertino at the new headquarters. Big fancy place.
Okay. In my head, those are the same place. Got it. That's awesome.
Sorry.
Is that where you interviewed?
Yeah.
So you have been to the new place?
Yes, and it's exactly like an Apple store. It took me 5 minutes to identify a bathroom stall once in the bathroom.
Where were you peeing for those 5 minutes?
Oh, just on the wall.
Okay.
You know me.
Nice. That's awesome, man. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How long has this been in the works?
About a month.
Okay. Is this...
Yeah.
So manufacturing. So this isn't too much related to your graduate degree?
No. Not really at all. Maybe. It could be.
Eventually. Gotcha. But all right. When you said Apple, I was thinking if you were leveraging that. That's sweet. So do you know like what you'll be doing?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically just handling the new design and commissioning of the automated systems that build the iPhone or the components within the iPhone. So basically like interfacing with vendors and, you know, making sure that they're designing the machine correctly to build the component.
That's sweet. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah, congratulations. Do you think you'll ever work for a company that isn't run by a tech billionaire?
Yes, at some point.
Okay.
Hopefully myself. And I don't know, I guess I could be a tech billionaire
at
that point.
Yeah, that'd
be hopefully.
Nice, actually.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. Yeah. So, no, I do not plan on that.
All right, well, that sounds like a great plan. All right, you are, for one more month, you're on the crazy ride of Tesla. What is that like right now? What is it like having one foot out the door right now, specifically?
Oh, it's great not giving a fuck. It's really good.
Nothing matters and everything matters to someone else, I guess.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, I'm not doing shit. I just ordered my car, so I've just been looking at aftermarket parts, like, literally all day, every day.
That sounds sweet. When do you get your car?
2 months.
2 months. Okay, that's not too bad.
Yeah, pretty quick.
I only know, like, I mean, I haven't done much research, but what you hear through the media makes it sound like delivery logistics are a lot worse than that.
No, it's a lot quicker than people make it out to be. I got a performance once, and they generally make those faster, so it is a bit easier for me. But, you know, for a lot of people, it's really not that long. People are getting them a lot faster than everyone thinks.
Gotcha. Very cool.
Yeah.
If you don't listen to a podcast called The Weeds, you should, in general. Shout out to everybody listening to this. But... Actually, don't listen to any other podcasts. All other podcasts are worse than this one. But today's episode was about, the title was, Can Tesla Save Itself from Elon Musk? And it was like a bunch of talking heads talking about Elon Musk and his antics and whether they're good or bad for a company in general or for Tesla. And I'm sure you would find it interesting. I found it interesting and I know a lot less about that company. But it's pretty cool and worth the listen, and I won't be able to do it justice rehashing it.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, but anyways, congratulations, that's exciting. Do you know if you're gonna be, are you gonna be the guy that makes the new iPhones more expensive or the older ones work worse?
Hopefully the former.
Okay, sweet. I think that's the better place to be.
Yes.
Can you
although that would be an interesting job. That would be great to do.
To be like fun. The guy that's like designing obsolescence.
Yeah. How to make it worse. Right. Yeah, that would be interesting.
Someone's got to be doing it. I downloaded the new iOS this morning. I know somebody is actively plotting against me right now. Well, sweet. So fantasy football is why we're theoretically here, although not why we're actually here. Your team is 0-2. What do you have to say for yourself?
Yeah, I'm not feeling great right now. I'm shooting myself in the foot. I'm letting the team down right now. I got to step it up in terms of coaching decisions there.
Yeah, you left a lot of points on the bench.
Yeah, 72 to be exact, I believe.
78 actually, but you scored
78. Yeah, Jesus.
You scored 122. I don't know. It's not like you had a bad week. You had a bad week last week, but this week, like,
yes,
you probably win three quarters of the time with 123 points.
Yeah, like I said, the team's putting it out there, and I'm not stepping up. Got to make the right calls.
Okay, let's see, who do you have next week?
Rohan.
Oh,
the battle of the 0-2s.
Okay, so this is gonna be you're gonna be last on the podcast. I've already interviewed Rohan. He talked some smack.
Of course he did.
Also, everybody talked smack last week, and everybody talked smack. Everybody trashed you this week. All the interviews that you're gonna hear before your own voice tomorrow. Somebody says something about you. You need a platform here to stand on. I'm willing to provide that to you. You're 0-2. You're playing another 0-2 team. Have at it. Take it away.
Well, I'll say I'm used to getting the trash talk. I like to give it out, so I got to take it. Do with that what you will. I think I'll be all right. I think I'm going to kick Rollins' ass this week. He lost a little Joe Mixon there for a few weeks, and I think my team's ready to step up. I'm going to turn it around and, you know, I'll be the one saying I'm a god at the end of the season. That's all I got to say.
Ooh.
Keep doing me.
Shots fired at Cole. Okay.
Yeah, suck it, Cole.
I mean, I do think your team is probably above average. And that's the reason I say that is not to pay you a half compliment, but to say, like, this year is very different from last year where you had to scrap everything and claw your way back into it. Like, you have talent. You have the pieces there. You have a lot of points that you're maybe not starting week to week yet because you haven't figured it all out yet. But I assume you're not like avidly going after trades and waiver wires like you were last year at this point. Is that fair?
Maybe not so much the waiver wire. I'm still, you know, talking a little trade talk.
Of course you are. What happened with the four team trade? Is that for
public? No, that was absolute bullshit. Sarcasm at its best.
Okay,
it's hilarious that everyone thought. But I was being serious.
Yes.
Too funny.
Absolutely. You could convince me that you have like a note in your iPhone that you're drafting up a 4+ team trade right now, and I'd say, yeah, of course he does.
Yeah, that's what all of my REM sleep at night is dedicated to.
You just dream about the complexity of trades.
Yep.
Trust the process. Another question for you. Will you give Melvin Gordon to Chris?
I did see that. I think I'm going to have to think about that. You know, maybe another night, sleep on it. You know, I got to dream a little dream. But, yeah, I think I'm probably going to turn it down. I mean, unless he has some sort of offer for me.
I can't speak to that. I just thought I'd throw
it out there. You know, maybe one pee-pee touch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't care for what you wish for. Chris might take you up on that.
Yeah, given the conversation today.
Yeah, that really got out of hand. I'm glad that wasn't on the podcast. Yeah, we got that going for us. I have a note here on my notes for the podcast. One of my notes is say something nice about Matt. Yeah, so Matt, I think you're a really great guy, and I hope that you don't end up 0-3 this week. I'll say that.
Oh, that's great, Scott.
That's, yeah.
I hope you lose, bud.
That's fair. You should hope I lose. I don't blame you for hoping I lose, because that would keep you in the hunt here.
Yep.
What does your record have to be, and when, for you to consider being a seller at the trade deadline?
Ooh. Man, I don't even know where the trade deadline is this year. It's moved around relatively so many times.
So we have 13 weeks now, and I think this year it's going to be like between week 8 and 9.
Okay.
So you'll have eight. I think you'll have 8 games under your belt and 5 games ahead of you when you have to make this choice.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm like 1-5 or 1-6, okay, probably the time.
That's when you start looking at it.
Yeah, most likely.
Okay.
Never say never though, because I'm coming back either way.
Right, yeah, that question I was really just asking because I wanted to hear you say, like, I'm never going to be a seller. Like, I'm going down with the ship. I could be 0-8, and I'm clinging to my guys. I'm coming back.
Oh, no, that might make me more prone to trades. I'm all for it.
All right, good
for
to know.
For the future, man.
Yeah, it's good to get that out on the public airwaves, let people know this. did you see – oh, all right, here's a good question for you. This came up earlier. Johnny lost in heartbreaking fashion to Hank last week, and then Johnny lost while scoring 148 points this week. Which one would you prefer to have happen to you? Losing at 2 a.m. on Monday night by a tenth of a point, or losing while scoring 148 points?
Yeah, both of those sucked. I was actually awake when he lost the first time, you know, the 3-hour thing.
Right.
And I watched it in live, and I just felt so terrible for him.
Yeah.
No, looking around the scores this week, I saw Johnny. I was like, damn, things could be worse. So, suck it, Johnny.
Yeah, easy for you to say things could be worse. Okay, who's your, if you're putting your Tesla pension fund on one team that's not you to win the championship this year, who you got?
Give me a second. What does Johnny's team look like, actually? Because I thought I really liked this team. No, I think it's got to be fucking Christian or Trey and Cole. Those two bitches.
You're taking one of the two of them?
Nah, hold on. This is a big decision here.
Yeah, look at a DT's roster before you say that.
Yeah, I'm about to. Yeah, fuck him. God damn it.
Aditya has handily outscored Cole 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. You said this isn't me? Because it's going to be me. Like, I can't. It's hard to pick someone that isn't me.
Yeah, I know
you. I like your roster. Your roster's coming on.
Oh,
you know,
thanks,
you got
buddy.
The hot hand right now.
I wasn't fishing for this, yeah. I promise.
No, I think I got to go with Trey.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, Trey's the one.
Is Trey a super team?
I would say no.
Okay.
I don't think Kareem Hunt is going to live up to the hype this year.
Really?
Yeah.
You think Pat?
I mean, maybe for that value, maybe for the value that Trey got him at,
that's
for
true.
Sure, but not up to the...
Not what we would have drafted him at if he was in the
right.
in the mix.
Right, exactly. Like, okay. It was worth it for him to keep it, but I don't think he'll be
okay.
all that in the...
How far past his peak of his career do you think David Johnson is? 1 week or like... 16 weeks.
Yeah, he's not looking good right now. But I think it's more the team. I don't know. I haven't watched their games yet, but I feel like it's more the team. Yeah. So I'm going to say he's not past the peak of his career.
I guess you're on the West Coast. You'll probably have the most opportunity to watch Cardinals games, but I have a feeling none of us are going to watch very many Cardinals games this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Not high on the Cardinals.
Are the Skins going to win the Super Bowl?
I'm going to go ahead and say no, because maybe they will if I say that.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. They do look good, though. I mean, I didn't see them last week. Apparently, they didn't do well, but they look pretty good.
Yeah, I mean,
if Adrian Peterson's knees can stay just, you know, upright or lodged in, not dislodged,
yeah,
then they'll be fine.
And I'm a sucker for Alex Smith. I've got a soft spot for Alex Smith, so
of course
I believe in him.
Cry a little every time you see Alex Smith go to Vernon Davis?
Yes, I do. I shed a tear for that Saints playoff game in 2012 where Vernon Davis had the game-winning catch, but the series before that, Alex Smith ran the most beautiful naked bootleg that mankind has ever seen. look it up on YouTube.
It's like a gazelle. Cool.
Yes, it's unbelievable. Okay, before I go, you have any questions for me?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
No questions.
All right. That's fine.
Ready to get to work.
Okay. Well, good luck next week. Say hi to Colleen for us, and hopefully you don't go 0-3.
Yeah, I hope that as well.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
See ya.